Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the JockX podcast. My name is James O'Connor and today's special guest is Paul Higgins. Now I'm super excited to have Paul here to really talk business, and his company, Bolo Empire, is really doing some great things over the past few years, and he has been really helping businesses and particular agencies take their games to the next level and really helping them scale. So super excited because Paul comes from another background working with Coca-Cola for a number of years as a director in a real high up role, and really can combine his corporate life experience with his own business of the last few years now, and really brought that to this episode with all his wisdom and knowledge for us in business in particular to learn from and really help take our games to the next level, take our businesses to the next level, and really achieve more success, more of what we want. And I really go through with Paul in depth, covering the strategies, the tips, his advice, the principles he lives by, the mentors he has, and all those types of things, books he recommends for us to get a hold of, to really help us. And there's so much goodness in here for all of us. So super excited for this, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your feedback. So make sure you jump on to Instagram, Facebook, Elite Team Leadership. Yeah, give us a like and let me know what you think of this episode and really what you took out of it. Super excited to hear from you. I'll try my best to get back to you. And also appreciate all the guys giving us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out with getting more super guests on like Paul. So thank you for that. And thank you to all the guys sharing, obviously, these episodes on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all those good places, because this stuff is for you guys to help you take your game to the next level. And guys like Paul are just experts. So, man, pump for this one. Enjoy episode 33 of the JockX podcast with myself, James O'Connor, and Paul Higgins. So welcome, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, great.
Thank you. Exciting to have you on. And I think it's going to be great for all the listeners out there and all the work you do. I'd love to get a bit of knowledge about your background and what you are actually currently doing.
Yeah, so my background was large corporate. I worked for Coca-Cola for 18 years. And if I actually take it back further, it was probably all my life. My father worked there. And ever since I can remember, I was doing something with Coke. And all through my school and university, I was working for them part-time, said I'd never worked there. And I basically got an opportunity just as I left university. And I thought I'd do it for a couple of months. And yeah, 18 years later, I was still there. So brilliant company and a great journey.
Yeah, fantastic. And then obviously, after 18 years, you did the transition to start your own business. Really love to talk about that and sort of the steps you took, and I guess why you really decided to take that big step.
Yeah, well, look, probably for would have been 5 years, I was constantly saying to my friends, I'm going to leave and do something myself. And they just didn't believe me because of that whole journey with, you know, my father working there. Actually, wife still works at Coke. I met her there. So it was very much, you know, the old joke, I cut myself and I bleed Coke. And and they just thought I'd never leave. And probably the biggest driver for me was around my health. I've got a disease called polycystic kidney disease. It basically cysts outgrow and you end up having kidney failure, and also I've got them in the liver as well, which meant, you know, having a corporate life of traveling a lot overseas, traveling interstate, working ridiculous hours and a lot of stress was actually expediting my kidney failure. So I had to look to do something else. So that was one driver. And then the other was the fact that I just always wanted to do something myself. I was always an entrepreneur and I just wanted to step out and do something myself. And to be honest, I didn't know what to do. So for 5 years, I kept telling everyone I was going to leave and I got sick of hearing it. And we had an annual weekend where I used to go away with my school friends on a golf trip. And each year I would say I'm going to leave, and then each year I didn't. So basically got to a point where I said, that's it. So I left, not really knowing what I was going to do, but started coaching and advising was the first thing I did.
Yep. With I really like to explore there, Paul. With your so obviously health is a big thing for you now. With the like I guess your condition you have, talk to me about obviously the realization that you know health is so important to you and how in today maybe in today's sort of habits and that how you sort of manage that and obviously you see it as obviously a major priority for yourself.
Yeah, look, I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg. I can never tell you because, you know, I'm only who I am, but I've always been an incredibly disciplined and tenacious person. And I think that sort of goes well with, you know, my disease. It's definitely far worse people in the world than me, but I have to be very strict around my diet and my exercise. And, you know, the third thing is around my mental, my stress. So I really live by that. So every morning I'm on my bike. I'm an avid cyclist. So I'm up at 5:30 most mornings, you know, up down Beach Road here in Melbourne, Australia. Loving that. And then I also go to the gym. I also play tennis. I'm always active with the kids with sport. So I think that sporting element is fantastic. Then I meditate each day to manage the stress. And, you know, I make sure I eat the right foods and I can't drink alcohol because of what I've got. So for me, it's very much, you know, that sport and being an entrepreneur is very much blended together, which is great for me because even working from home, I know it's very easy to get sidetracked working from home, whereas, you know, I do switch on, like in my sport, I switch on, and in my business, I switch on, and I am able to work from this home environment where all my team are basically, you know, 10,000 kilometres away.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually really fascinated by this, Paul. Actually, myself, I definitely, one of my highest priorities is my own health. And definitely, I've sort of found in the last 12 months, I've made changes with the long-term view in mind. I would love to, I'm actually going to skip down. I had a question down here for you for later in the this chat with you. But what would you tell yourself if you were to go back to, say, maybe back to when you're coming out of college or you know, you're 25 and that sort of age? What would you tell yourself in regards to health and the habits to adopt at that age?
Look, I think it's I think if around that 25-year-old mark, I was probably drinking too much, and probably no more than everyone else in corporate. But it was a very much a work hard, you know, play hard type environment.
Yeah.
And if I was telling my 25-year-old self, I would have done more exercise. I would have, you know, yeah, just and probably spent a lot more time traveling. I did travel a little bit, but certainly with Asia, I've traveled a lot in Asia over the last three to 4 years, and it's just been fantastic. Whereas historically with work, I always went to the US, being Coca-Cola, you know, based there, and or went to Europe, but I didn't really travel through Asia. So as a 25-year-old, I would have just spent a lot more time traveling through Asia than what I did.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely some good advice there. Paul, with your current today and what the work you're doing now, explain to the listeners what you actually do on a daily basis, what your company is about, and what you really focus on and expert on.
Yeah, look, we help small businesses scale. And we do that through two very simple ways. So one is through a platform solution, so a technology solution, and it's called Podio, which is P-O-D-I-O. And Podio is like, if you look at large enterprise where I came from, we had SAP, we had Oracle, we had massive end-to-end solutions for corporate. And Podio is like that for small to medium businesses. And then the second component is the people piece. I found with Coke, you always had the resources to do what you wanted, and you're always left to do what you were best in the world at. And then others supported you. And what we've done is created that environment out of Manila so that it's very affordable. We give, you know, people in Manila great opportunities to work with entrepreneurs around the world, and vice versa. Entrepreneurs get to do what they want to do more of, because we tap into the people. So that's how we have helped to scale businesses, and that's what's keeping me very active at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. So if you basically, just to summarize, if you have a business and you want to take it to the next level, obviously scale it up in a significant way, your business is all about having the resources in place that someone could come along and go, this is my business, I want to work on A, B, and C because that's what I'm the best in the world at. This is what my, you know, gifts are, and this is where I should focus. And I guess you have the people in place to be able to go, we have X, Y, and Z to cover those different things that need to be done, different steps that need to be taken place, and then you can focus on your biggest strengths. Is that basically what you're all about?
Yeah. Look, I think that's a good summary, James. And, you know, really, I used to, as I left Coke, I was doing advisory, and I liked that. But to me, you know, it's all about action. If I look at Coke's success over the years, it's been its ability to think strategic but act locally. So, you know, I'm all about the action piece. So what we do is give the owners time to actually get out of their business. You know, the old cliche of working on your business, take more time to think about it, do those joint venture partnerships, do the things that are going to 10x your business, knowing that you've got the capacity to keep up with that because you've got the right technology and you've got the right people in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that is probably one of the critical factors that going, you know, from a very small operation to a company that can run itself and has, you like you said, the cliche, work on your business rather than work in your business. What do you see as the biggest challenges for companies in 2015?
Look, I think it is that oxymoron of technology that, you know, it's never been a better time to start a small business because the technology stack that's available. But at the same time, it can be so confusing because there's so many options out there. And I think the other day someone said there's about 150 notifications each entrepreneur gets a day. So, you know, there's just so many ways to get distracted. So I think the challenge at the moment is getting that balance right. And, you know, we provide what we call an action partner where if, you know, busy owner, they don't spend any time in their inbox at all. So for me today, I would have had 100 emails probably on a given day. I didn't see one of them. All I saw was stuff that I sent out of my inbox and also the tasks that were in my platform, which is Podio, in a very easy way for me to find it. So I wasn't getting lost in all the notifications and the old adage that you're on someone else's agenda when you're in your inbox. Versus you being on your agenda, whether it be, you know, speaking to people in person on phone or emailing out. So I think that's the real trap that a lot of people fall into. And they, you know, it's that old cliche, Stephen Covey, who I'm a huge fan, you know, used to talk about, you know, do the big rocks first and then sort out the pebbles. I find that all those little pebbles, which is normally in people's inboxes or Facebook or notifications, is really stopping them from scaling.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, so many businesses don't scale. I don't know what the stats are, but they're extremely high in terms of business failing in the first, small businesses failing in the first 3 years. When it comes to successful small businesses and, you know, ones that go on for, you know, decade after decade, being profitable, continue to grow, in thinking about the next sort of 5 years, what do you think are sort of maybe two or three key elements that business owners need to think of to be in that minute group to become successful, because the odds are really stacked against you?
Yeah, look, for me, I think what the Coke company was really, really good at was doing consumer research. So they spent, you know, massive amounts on consumer research. And I think for most small businesses, you've got to do the same. You don't have to spend that sort of money, but you've got to really find out what the key pain points are. And I know that's, you know, quite topical these days, but yeah, don't build a product and then go out and sell it. It's actually find out what people want and then make sure you're delivering it. And the way you deliver that is through using the right technology and also tapping into experts around the world. I love living in Australia. It's a fantastic country, but we are quite remote. And I still see a lot of business owners that are trying to do way too much themselves. So they just spread themselves too thin, and that's why they can't scale. It's not that they don't have a great idea. It's actually often because they're just doing tasks that they should not be doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess you've probably seen it over, obviously you've been focused on this area. It's becoming so, do you see business, I think, from what I see, is they're getting a lot better at this sort of space because of people like yourself teaching them how to do it. I guess, I'm just trying to get to, in terms of pre the internet, these sorts of opportunities, I guess, didn't exist. Is that sort of a fair assessment?
Yeah, so look, when I was a Franklin Covey trainer, when I left Coke, they worked with top neuroscientists on what's the most productive way to work. And they had this fantastic slide where they talked about, in the old days, you would have a secretary. If you're an executive, you'd have a secretary that sat there and basically weeded all the mail and then said, these are the four things that you need to do today. And effectively, that's what you did. What I find for a lot of people now, that whole filtering and screening process has disappeared. So the instant messaging and the instant access is fantastic, but it's like an addiction. And I think the fundamentals of actually clearing space, and I remember Peter Costello once saying, a politician here in Australia, where, these days you're bound by the media releases, or so we've got a press conference in an hour, guys, and we have to make a decision to go to press. And I find at the moment that people feel the same, that they've got to instantly post things or instantly reply to things, whereas sometimes you've got to step back and actually take that time to think and keep and sort of step out of the day-to-day.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, those Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things, they're obviously heavily designed to keep us in that sort of on their particular app or on their particular web page, and they are extremely good at that. What are a couple of tactics, just a couple of simple tactics that you would recommend business owners in particular adopt on a daily basis in terms of keeping them on the most tasks that are going to get them that 10 times their business type thing?
Yeah, look, I think one is having a morning routine. So whatever that looks like for you. So for me, exercising, cycling's, part of that. And I do meditation, and I actually set up my day to say, what do I want to achieve for the day? And look at what's most important in my life. So I do that every morning. That's my daily routine. So it doesn't have to look like that, but what's, sort of your daily routine? So you get off on a proactive stance rather than getting caught into someone else's agenda like email. Then the next thing is actually spending around 90 minutes a day of quality thinking time. And I use a technique of 4 times 20 minute blocks, and then in between I'll have a 5 to 10 minute break, but I'll just focus on one thing and one thing only, and I'll shut the world out when I'm doing that. So the neuroscientist, when I was at Covey, said you've got about 90 minutes of quality thinking time. And for me, that's in the morning. So I normally try to do that early in the morning. And then the other one is I've got a little app called The Way of Life. And The Way of Life, it's just an app on your iPhone. And it just lists all the key things that are most important for me to do each day. And I just tick them off as I go, so I don't have to remember them. And, in there is how many, business calls, giving a client a call, simple things, but the most important things. So I dedicate some time to that. And then finally for me, it's knowledge. And how can you acquire knowledge? I think it's like you're doing here, James, tonight. It's just podcasts. I think, there's so many you can proactively get to some of the best people in the world and their free content. So I listen to podcasts. I listen at 2x speed, so that an hour podcast and a half an hour, I've knocked it over. And then I use a little voice to task app where I then get my team in Manila to actually implement what I've learnt through the podcast. So that's a little summary of what I do each day.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. I think you, in our previous catch-up, you mentioned about the 2x speed, which is pretty cool. I haven't tried that yet. I might have to get on it because I'm obviously a avid podcast listener myself. And it's interesting too on your daily routine. Mine's very similar. I'm up early. I do a bit of meditation myself, and then I undertake actually a run rather than the bike ride. And then obviously, I'm very aware of that critical sort of hour to 2 hours space of really setting yourself up with some of the key thinking. And obviously, for me, I'm obviously like you, do my best thinking first thing in the morning, I think, while I'm fresh, while I haven't been bombarded with other things on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, I definitely I love your routine in the morning. On a bad day, Paul, you know, everyone has a bad day where things just don't quite happen. How do you respond to that? And what are the sort of things that get you back on track? Like everyone, you know, has that feeling where you just, things seem to be going wrong. You're late, you might be late to work, or you miss a meeting, or you haven't got the sales you wanted for that week or whatever it was. What's your tactics to get yourself back on track and get yourself back in a positive state of mind?
Yeah, look, and let's face it, we all have them as entrepreneurs and small business owners, and I probably have more of them these days, or the roller coaster is probably more pronounced than what it was in corporate.
Yeah.
Look, I just always feel that, you know, success is only a phone call away or around the next corner. Like, you know, to me, you know, because of maybe my disease, and, you know, every day for me is a bit of a battle with the condition that I have, that, you know, I'm just know that something better is going to come around the corner. So, you know, it's not a very specific answer, but I think I just go back to my routine and just make sure that, you know, if I'm doing the things that I can control, that's all I've got to do, and I just focus on those and then hope the rest falls into place. So, and, you know, a part of that meditation, so I might meditate, if I'm having a bad day, I might meditate 3x a day versus, you know, once or twice, and really try to breathe and just try to relax that emotional side and that anxiety, and then just go back to, well, what are the things that I know that have made me successful in the past, and if I just focus on those, that's the best I can do.
Yeah, I like that. It was actually funny, just popped in my head. One of my good friends was a very good national class or distance runner. Anyway, he was running with the great Craig Mottram. Obviously, he was world championship medalist in the 5K and Com Games and what sort of Olympian and all those sorts of things. Anyway, long story short, Craig's way of bringing himself sort of out of that slump was just to tell himself that, hey, doesn't matter, I'm gonna die, and it just sort of brings you back. And I think now I think about it, it was something similar. I think Steve Jobs said something similar as well. Like, the fact is, no one's come up with a solution or a way of avoiding death, so you might as well do something that you like. I think he's sort of paraphrasing there, but it's interesting that it just popped in my head, that Craig Mottram sort of one. But definitely, we all have those sort of bad days. When you think of success, obviously, in business, who do you think of, Paul?
Look, I think Richard Branson is someone that comes to mind for me. And you know, I loved reading about his books. And what I love most about it is that, you know, he did have a lot of those bad days. Like, yeah, you know, it was really tough at the start, and he never gave up. And I think he also knew what he was really good at, and then surrounded himself with a fantastic team. So, you know, I think that's someone who, you know, has been very successful. And I love the fact that, he swims in his lane. Like, he knows what he's really, really good at, and then he basically lets his business units run themselves. And I think that's how he's, you know, scaled to where he is, knowing his strengths and playing to them.
Yeah, he's incredible. I'm a massive fan, obviously, as well, along with millions of others. And it's interesting, like, you do look back. I sort of always look at that journey, particularly in the early days when he started the the magazine, student magazine, I think when he was about 16. It was interesting. I think one of his best mates was basically control of the money side of things, and he was very good at that, I think, and very tight. And obviously, and they, you know, had time mounts on the phone calls, and, you know, power, turn the power off, and they're all only getting paid about £20 a week. And I think it would be spot on there. It's amazing how he had the right people, and I think he obviously worked out from a very young age, just like your business is promoting, the fact that, you know, there are areas that you aren't strong in, and you sort of need to focus on the good, you know, the areas. And obviously he was a sensational marketer, negotiator, communicator, those type of things. And he's obviously worked that out, and, you know, the rest is history. He's one of the greats of all time. So yeah, absolutely, definitely concur on that. Other than sort of Richard Branson, what sort of other mentors would you have had in the past? And if you had the choice of maybe picking three mentors out of anyone today to be able to sit down with on a, say, a monthly basis, who would they be?
Look, I would love to meet Oprah Winfrey.
Yep.
I was only on the way here. My son was reading, you know, a card talking about who's the wealthiest female in the US. I don't know if that's still relevant, but I think, you know, she's a pretty incredible person, where she's come from to where she is now. So definitely that. There's one of the founders of SAP. I can't pronounce his name, but he is someone that inspires me, because if I look at the Podio platform and its opportunity in smaller businesses, I think it's got the similar opportunities to what SAP have done from a global perspective.
Yeah.
And then there's another guy, I can't remember his surname, but I heard him on a podcast recently, and he is a lot into AR and just the future of where that's going. So I'd love to see where that will play out, because I think, you know, the Internet of Things, machine on machine, all of that is, you know, I think is going to be the next big thing. So I'd love to work with and understand people that are in that space.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I was listening to something the other day about, I think the Google boys that got the founders of Google, Larry Page and is Larry Page? Larry Page and, I can't think of the other guy's name now. Anyway, I think they're heavily in that involved. It was actually interesting. I was watching an article of Elon Musk, obviously the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, and he gets nightmares about that sort of space and what they might actually accidentally come across and create. And it's interesting of what those guys could do. But it's obviously the cutting edge of, I guess, world technologies. You know, it's a fascinating space to be in, and obviously they're definitely doing a lot of work on there. Paul, sort of coming towards the end of our chat, and it's been awesome, and obviously definitely continue on this sort of business space forever. If you had three books to sort of recommend to listeners,
I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had three books for the listeners to get a hold of, you think they're just sort of must reads, particularly in the business space, what would they be?
Yeah, look, I think one is an oldie but a goodie, is that, you know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That was the one book that changed my life probably the most. I read it when I was circa sort of 24 or something, and it had a profound impact, to the point where I went and actually got accredited and was a Franklin Covey trainer. It was sort of on my bucket list, so that's definitely one. Another one, or the other two, which are sort of similar in nature, is The One Thing and Essentialism. I think both of them all relate around, focus on one key thing and, you know, specialize. And I think, you know how before you asked me about the companies that are scaling and what's the ingredient, I often think that having a real clear marketing position and also being famous in a particular vertical or a particular product and service, I think is really important. So for us, you know, it's around agencies, and, you know, we really want to help agencies, so small businesses that are agencies. So, you know, what is that? And if I look at Coke, you know, a lot of our discussions were always about, yes, Coke's drunk by nearly everyone, but who's the target market? Who are the people that's all the marketing spend and who are we trying to influence? And I think if you focus and get that right, it can really help you. So that those two books have that as sort of the core.
Yeah, just talk to me a little bit more about you mentioned being famous in. Is that in reference to you being basically the best in the world or the world leader in that particular niche or that particular space? Is that right?
Yeah. And it may, you know, I know it's hard to quantify, are you the best in the world, but I think it's around about, you know, being the person, the expert, the advisor, whatever the right term is, where people actually go to you because that's what you do. You know, that's your sweet spot. That's what you dedicate yourself to. And I think because now we're in with technology that, you know, whether it's a podcast or whether it's, you know, other platforms like Podio, you can just get access to people so easily these days, and it'll only get more so, that if you, you know, really pick what you're best at, well, I think that makes it a lot easier for you, but also for the people that are trying to find you.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely, I definitely understand that even with this podcast, and it's interesting, like I always try and be world-class with this podcast and everything, you know, editing to, you know, people we have on to, and, you know, just the questions we ask and what we try and do, because obviously, you know, the competition out there, like you said, there's so much opportunity for the consumer to, you know, click another button and go down another pathway. So I guess by being world-class, being the best in that particular field, definitely is a way to go, and it is going to set you up to be that minute percentage, I guess, to be successful in particularly small businesses, you know, which I think is a great principle. So obviously people listening, definitely Paul's point on that is definitely something we all need to adopt. If you had the opportunity to obviously, you know, summarize into, you know, 30 seconds of, you know, summarize your business into 30 seconds and basically so people, if they were, you know, wanting to come to you to get some extra help, who do you sort of mainly focus? Obviously agencies, but who else would be ideal to come and maybe say good day to you and work with you in future?
Yeah, look, I think our core target is around those agencies. So anyone that wants to disrupt an industry and they're service-based is sort of our core, you know, sort of those 20 to 50 people, done all the hard yards, stuck in the grind and really want to scale. So that's definitely the core. But I think the other one is someone who wants to leave corporate, maybe in corporate and want to start their own business. You know, I'm 4 years down a path which is, you know, I've had the highway, the right, I've picked the right road, but I've had lots of detours off that. And, you know, if I can help someone lessen those, you know, I'd love to do it, because it is a big change and a big transition moving from corporate into running your own business.
Yeah, for sure. And just going back, we sort of didn't explore it too much. So when you made the jump from going from corporate, that first day you had, the first day that you had left your job and out into the open world of, you know, looking after yourself as such and running your own businesses and being a coach, as you said, and a consultant. Tell me about the steps you went about after that. Like, what were the first things you did to, I guess, get the income coming in again, getting those clients, getting your business going? What are the key things you did?
Yeah, well, the first thing I did is I went and got a coach that came from coaching small businesses and said, you know, what do I need to do? Because, you know, it was a completely different world to me. I knew if I treated running my own business the way that I worked in corporate, that that probably wasn't going to be successful. So the first thing is I went and got a really good coach. The second thing is that I got a team around me. So that's when I started, you know, my team in Manila, so that I could actually have some capacity. And, you know, when I started, I was balancing, you know, getting new clients, to your point, and actually doing the delivery. So I got some admin support that gave me a bit more time, I went and sought other people that had gone through my position, so like mentors, and I set up an advisory board. So that was really important. And then the other one was making sure that I focused on sales. And I probably did it the hard way, where I set up a lot of the stuff myself. And if I look back at it, I would have actually got other people to do things like, you know, websites, setting up Xero, getting company, you know, there's all this stuff that you can get distracted on, and it's all new and it's exciting. But before you know it, you know, you just don't have enough working capital. So I think the, you know, sales is absolutely critical, and the best way to test the market to see if you have got and are solving the right pain point is to actually see as many clients that aren't your friends. Often what people do is go to their network first, and you know, people are excited for you and they'll give you some work, and that's all fantastic. But I think if you've defined an avatar and who you really want to focus, go and work with people that you've never don't know at all, so you can actually get the honest raw truth as quick as you can. And you know, that's the classic, you know, MVP, minimal viable product.
Yeah, for sure. No, I like that. And just in a practical sense, if you were to, you know, if someone listening now was to go out and find those people, what would be just the, in a practical way to find these people? Are they just on the street, or in a particular sort of your industry, or what sort of non-friends are you looking for?
Yeah, look, I think it, so from a client perspective, you're saying?
I was just saying, from testing your product, and you mentioned getting obviously non-friends to look at your product and see if it is viable. In a practical sense, how does someone do that? Like, do you just ask a stranger who's working at a company that you think might know about your product, or what's the process?
Yeah, I think it's use your network. So use your circle of friends to get to someone that that you don't know. So I think it's a combination of. So, you know, don't sell to your friends per se, but sell to their friends. So. And a lot of that is through LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn's a brilliant tool where you can look up your connections and then see who they're connected to.
Yes.
And do some searches to actually, you know, pinpoint, okay, these are the people, and then get introduced by someone. I think the easiest way to do business still is relationship, where someone says, I think you should talk to James. That's so much more powerful than you just, you know, going completely cold.
Yeah, for sure. And I was just thinking, this process you're just discussing now, which I think I'm interested in, it probably would be a really cool process, and something someone who maybe currently is in the corporate world could really go out and try this on with their product that they have in mind and that they've been building on the side prior to making the jump. Or would you recommend, did you find your way of going out into the world, cutting the ties and just starting full time into your business? Or would you recommend people, you know, stay in the role you are for now? Let's test your product out. Let's see if you've got something viable and that can, you know, build a business around. What would be your suggestion?
Look, that's a great question, James. And to be honest, I don't really know. My thoughts are that I like the old adage that, you know, if you burn the bridge, the only way is to go forward. So, you know, I actually took a complete leap out, knowing that I didn't have the old, well, I can just stay in my job, or I can fall back to corporate or something. So that's the way I did it. Not saying it's the right or wrong way, but I basically put myself in a position where I had to succeed. So that's the way I did it. Would I have done more research whilst I was in a corporate job? Probably, but it just ethically didn't sit well with me because of my nature. I give 110% to everything I do, and no, I was a marketing director, very senior job. I just couldn't find the time. So I did bits and pieces at night. But look, I think it just goes down to your personal circumstances, the job you're in. Now, there's so many variables. I don't think there's a right or wrong, but I think whatever decision you make, it only gets easier after you make the decision. So most people fear, the fear of not doing is normally greater than actually the doing. And I can't remember, I think it was Einstein once said that, you know, the, the greatest thing ever invented was compound interest. And I really believe in that, that the earlier you make a decision to leave and the harder you work on it, I think the more success you've got. And if anything, I probably waited 5 years too long. And, you know, that was probably my only regret. But, you know, you can't regret it because that's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And just sort of me sitting back here and listening to a few things you said, it's, I guess it is, you had 5 years of sort of thinking about it. So it wasn't like a month and then you said, "We're bang, and I'm going to leave straight away." So it was 5 years before you made that cutoff. And, you know, and I guess obviously when a good role at Coca-Cola, you probably were pretty financially obviously stable at that stage. You weren't, you know, you weren't 20 years old and had no money. I imagine, you know, in your bank account, which a lot of young entrepreneurs have. So I guess, you know, it is definitely up to your circumstances. And but it is cool and exciting to see that the way that you took it. And hopefully listeners out there can definitely apply that to the bit of themselves. I really basically come to the end here, Paul, and I really appreciate you being on. It's been, you know, super exciting. And I really want to just acknowledge you for coming on the show, and really acknowledge you for the big step you took out 4 years ago. Obviously, you know, the world's a better place, and business in particular is because you did that and the work you're doing and helping people, I guess, really live out their dreams in a sense and taking their businesses to a level that they want to. And I really want to acknowledge you for that great work.
Look, I really appreciate that, James. And, you know, and as I said, podcasts, you know, I love listening to your podcast, and it's brilliant to hear so many people's stories. And, you know, the thing I'll end in is that you only really have one life. And, you know, with me, where I have my health is sort of the center, I just realize how precious it is. And just, you know, go out there and do it. In corporate, I lived one life, and then my personal value statement said something different. So I was always living two lives. Just don't have enough time. Just live the life you want to live.
I love that. And Paul, for people to find you, where's the best spot to get a hold of you and check out some of your work?
Yeah, look, the easiest is Bolo Empire. So it's BOLLOEmpire.com. And people can see me there, and also on my LinkedIn, Paul Higgins. It's a fairly generic name, but people should be able to hunt me down through either of those two.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Paul, and we'll definitely have to have you on sometime in the future.
Look forward to it. Thanks, James.
So there you have it, folks. Episode 33 with Paul Higgins. Isn't he an absolute star? And man, I love having guys like Paul on the show. Really transcend a lot of wisdom for all of us that we can really apply to ourselves. And Paul is just one of those people that is really exciting to be around and really enjoy listening to what he has to say. And because of his vast experience in the corporate world and now into the business world running his own company. So hope you really enjoyed that one and would love to get your feedback. Really love hearing from you guys, and make sure you pass it on to your work colleagues, your friends, your family, and really let them know about Paul and what he's doing. And really, you know, this episode, it really scratches the surface on what he does and covers quite a bit. But yeah, he's got a lot to offer. So really check him out. And obviously, yeah, we love you guys passing on this episode to people that you recommend would really enjoy it. So please do that. And man, I've got an exciting guest coming on next week, so keep an ear out for that one. Really excited for that one too. So hope you enjoyed that one. Have a great week. Excited for you. Get stuck in, and we'll see you back next week for episode 34.